Eddie Garcia is here with this preview of the Carolina Film and Video Festival 2014.
The 2014 Carolina Film and Video Festival, which is the state's longest-running film festival, kicked off on Wednesday, February 26th, on the campus of the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. The festival runs through Saturday night and features plenty of films of the live-action and animated variety and provides attendees with the opportunity for some one-on-one time with visiting and local filmmakers. Visit WFDD.org and click on Try It Arts Weekend for schedule and ticket info. My guests today are Austin Taylor, the director of the stop-motion animated film Death and the Robot, and Carolina Film and Video Festival director Keith Barber.
We started in 1978, and it started out as a group of students got together to show some of their works at UNCG, and it has since expanded into this wonderful event that we have now that spans 4 days.
What's the mission of the film festival, you know, beyond just showing great works?
We promote and encourage excellence among student and independent commercial film and video artists in the Carolinas by showing their works. We provide programs, workshops, and symposiums through which film and video artists can share their expertise and that they can network with each other, and also that they can connect with audiences. We think that's really important. We give filmmakers a chance to get that audience response, which is so vitally important to them as artists and their development. It also gives audiences and aspiring filmmakers a chance to be inspired by the work that they see and to find out, hey, how did you accomplish that? I mean, how did you get that shot? How did you do this incredible animation? I mean, and the wonderful thing is that you have filmmakers who come to the film festival and they are so thrilled to have that opportunity just to connect with people who love film and other animators or other experimental filmmakers and other documentary filmmakers. It seems to be a UNC School of the Arts and UNCG collaborative effort because all the films, at least in the first block, are primarily either UNCSA films or UNCG films. This is because we have developed this really nice, strong relationship with the School of the Arts, and their staff over there has been tremendous in helping us find these gems. And once again, it's a testament to the quality of the works that are coming out of that school and the type of artists that are being developed there.
To talk about some of the films, do you see notable differences? Because the Carolina Film and Video Festival, you take submissions from students and independent filmmakers and people in the commercial realm as well. Are there, you know, noticeable differences between those different arenas?
You can see some noticeable differences, and sometimes like in a film like The Last Session, which is one of our films that plays on Friday, that has a couple of name actors. It's a small film, but it's a really well-done film. It has Terry Polo, who might be best known for being Ben Stiller's wife in Meet the Parents. It has some other actors who have been in shows like Breaking Bad, and it's an LA film. So you can see that there's, in terms of the talent and in terms of, you can recognize some of these actors. And yeah, you do see in terms of production value, but in terms of storytelling, some of the best films are the most simply told films, but they're just really strong narratives, whether it's animation, experimental, or narrative or documentary. We have a documentary this year called Not Anymore that was shot in Syria during the current rebellion. A filmmaker named Matthew Van Dyke, who is a journalist and who spent some time in Syria and shot this film. When you're watching the film, an actual attack occurs as he's shooting, and we witness the attack and we watch this horrible thing unfold. And it's so powerful. Then we get local films, animations, documentaries, experimental films from North Carolina filmmakers who are incredibly talented. We get films from the Czech Republic. We have films from Germany. We have films from Australia. And out of the more than 200 submissions that we received, we had to narrow it down to about 35 films, which was really tough.
Are there other events planned around the festival on campus or in Greensboro?
Yeah, we have a special event every day. Friday, we have a very special program. An experimental filmmaker and moving image artist, David Gatton, who is a UNCG graduate, he is going to make a presentation that is going to be pretty lengthy. He's going to show some of his early 16mm film prints. We have a special projector set up for him. He is a tremendous artist. He is currently a guest lecturer and professor at Duke University. CinemaScope magazine named David one of the top 50 directors under 50 a couple of years ago. He shares that distinction along with people like Wes Anderson, David Fincher, Steven Soderbergh, and Quentin Tarantino. And he is a UNCG graduate. We're very proud of him. Yeah. And then on Saturday, we have a special program. We have two UNCG alums who are going to show their works. The first is Brett Ingram, and he is a UNCG graduate, and he is an MFA graduate. And he is going to show his film Rocketerrania, which is about Ronaldo Cooler, who is this visionary artist who worked at the North Carolina Science Museum for many, many years. And Brett and he became friends, and it's a phenomenal film. And then we're going to have Daniel Stein, who is a fairly recent graduate of UNCG, who is a actor, writer, director, and he's going to show three of his short films on Saturday night. And all proceeds are going to go to the John Lee Jellicoe Scholarship Fund, which is a fund for media studies students at UNCG.
Give listeners a basic idea of Death and the Robot.
So Death and the Robot is a story about two lonely souls who are sort of bored of their constant, meticulous existence. They each have been charged with a very monotonous lifestyle, and they're ready for something new. They're ready for a friendship. And ultimately, that's what the story is about. It's a friendship between this robot who cares for plant life. He's a nurturer robot, and Death herself. On the surface, it's a friendship story, but we also explore some deeper philosophies of what mortality really means. And we suggest several different things metaphorically that we hope that people will be able to gravitate towards.
So why'd you go stop motion with Death and the Robot? I mean, have you been inspired by people like Ray Harryhausen or some of the Tim Burton stuff?
And, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Ray Harryhausen, of course, is like the one, the man, the legend. And it's really his focus and his desire to push himself with every single animation that he does.
But stop motion animation is such a meticulous
craft. It is a very meticulous craft.
So have you always been someone that been your forte?
I see what you're getting at. Yes, I am OCD. it's strange. You don't realize when you're in it how crazy you must seem, because you really do. I mean, it does get down to the point where you're staring at a screen and you're just like, you know what, that flower needs to be moved a centimeter to the left. And so you'll take like 5 minutes to walk over and move it over and then adjust the light just a smidgen. And then you come back to your camera and you're like, you know what, that doesn't quite work. I don't like that anymore. And then you go back and you adjust it a little bit more.
Talk to me about the process of making the characters,
sure.
Of making the puppets.
Yeah, so I actually brought them here with me. I wish listeners could see them.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to get some pictures.
Yeah, here they are. So if you want to see these characters, you're just going to have to come to Carolina Film and Video Festival. These were 3D printed, and that in itself actually was a really different process.
And you'll see we'll post the trailer online to get an idea for the characters, but you know what I'm looking at is a really detailed steampunkish type of robot, and playful feminine Death. Very unique characters.
Well, that was actually a great articulation. We definitely wanted a steampunk aesthetic without going all out steampunk, so we kind of combined a steampunk with this retro sci-fi sort of appeal, especially for Robot's lab or his greenhouse. It sort of went through different phases of what we were officially calling it, but basically his man cave. And it has just all of his plants and everything in it. So we really wanted to make Robot stand out against all of the plants, and so he has a lot more of a sort of rustic feel. He's loosely based on a watering can, just to better associate him with the plants around him. He's got more moving parts than Death does, and in terms of really innovative design and just how his facial structure moves, I'm definitely more proud of how he came together. But he was also the second puppet that I worked on. Death came first, and so she was almost kind of a prototype. Because, to be honest with you, we didn't even know if this 3D printing process was going to work. Turns out it worked perfectly.
The 3D printing process, something we've all been hearing a lot about lately, you know, without explaining everything about it, could you just kind of tell us what that means?
Sure. 3D printing in this case was, normally you would use a metal ball and socket armature. We chose to 3D print because you can make just about anything and you can make it again. So that's why they call it rapid prototyping, because you can prototype like crazy.
So where'd you get access to the 3D printing?
So we actually worked with Center for Design Innovation, which is in downtown Winston-Salem. They were extremely helpful. We didn't have a 3D printer. We didn't know what a 3D printer looks like. They educated us.
What kind of budget and what kind of time frame did it take to put this film together?
Our budget actually was only $1,500, which for a film of the scale is actually extremely small. So we had to work around a lot of constraints. The sets that we made were collapsible and sort of like puzzle pieces. They could be reassembled in different ways so that if we're in an exterior location, we could redesign, we could move around like Legos to make it look like a separate part of that exterior location so that the exteriors never look the same. But we really had to pinch every penny. It was definitely an interesting process, but because it was actually a very small crew and we were all students, we didn't need the budget in terms of paying for the time that was put into it. We needed that budget, especially for the wood materials for the sets, which James Helterbridle was amazing at designing, constructing, and coming up with a way that we could really work in a small space with a small budget. It was definitely a Rubik's Cube.
Really great score. Was that composed originally for the film?
Yes. That was Tom Hooser. We worked with him, you know, even starting in concept stages. And so, you know, he was really working alongside of us, building tonal tracks that we could cut into our animatics and start to really, like, collaborate together in terms of building this world and making it feel cohesive.
Austin Taylor. He's the animation whiz behind Death and the Robot, which will be screened at the Carolina Film and Video Festival at UNCG. Death and the Robot screens Friday night. The festival runs through Saturday night, March 1st. Check WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend for updated film schedules and ticket details. And while you're there, you can view a trailer and behind-the-scenes footage of the making of Death and the Robot. For 88.5 WFDD, I'm Eddie Garcia.
This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and for now, we're going to stick around in the darkness of the movie theater, where Wake Forest University Professor of Communication and Film Studies, Mary Dalton, takes us behind the scenes.
This year, when I look at the list of the Best Picture nominees for the Oscar, I feel kind of hopeful. A lot of years, it's just a struggle for me to figure out anything that I would vote for if I were a voting member of the Academy. But, you know, I would not put American Hustle, The Wolf of Wall Street, or Captain Phillips on that list just because of the flaws in the first two and what I found to be some degree of blandness in the third one. But there is one terrific, conventional, but still really, really good film on the list, and that's Philomena. And then on the list, there are three movies that I absolutely love. I always go with my heart and not my head, so don't consider this a prediction of what will win. But if any one of these three films wins, I'll be pretty happy. Of the films on my list, my favorites are 12 Years a Slave, Her, and Nebraska. And it is a rare year when three of my top films all get nominations. Alexander Payne's black comedy, Nebraska, is also a moving family portrait, and that's due mainly to the love that one son shows his cantankerous father on a very bizarre road trip.
How did you and Mom end up getting married?
She wanted to.
You didn't?
I figured what the hell.
Were you ever sorry you married her?
All the time. Could have been worse.
Well, you must have been in love. At least at first.
Never came up.
What moves me most about this movie is the tenderness of the son as he tries to give his aging father a shred of dignity. For me, Spike Jonze's film Her is a story that's not so much about technology. I mean, I know that's what the preview trailer suggests, but it's about the lessons we must learn, mostly about being open and authentic in order to connect deeply and enduringly with another human being.
So what was it like being married?
Well, that's hard for sure. But there's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody?
Well, we grew up together. And, you know, I used to read all of her writing all through her master's and PhD. And she read every word I ever wrote. We were a big influence on each other. I still find myself having conversations with her in my mind, rehashing old arguments and defending myself against something she said about me.
I think Her is a thought-provoking film, and it's just a visual feast. But if I were voting for Best Picture, my choice would be Steve McQueen's tough but true film, 12 Years a Slave. I actually saw it twice. There are so many searing scenes, but the one I always think of first centers on a piece of soap.
I went to Master Shaw's plantation.
You admit it.
Yes, freely. And you know why. I got this from Mrs. Shaw. Mrs. Epps won't even grant me no soap to clean with. I stink so much I make myself gag.
12 Years a Slave is adapted from an actual slave narrative, and this film feels like the most accurate retelling of a story about slavery in the American South that I've ever seen. I've chosen which film I would vote for, but you don't have to. You can just see all three whenever you get the chance.
Wake Forest University Professor of Communication, Film Studies, and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies, Mary Dalton. You'll find her blog on our website, wfdd.org. I'm David Ford, and it's time to take another short break. When we return, Kenneth Frizzell and Barbara Listersink will join us for the Zen of Plein Air Painting next. So stay with us.